Hello again, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of The Jungle Show. So excited for y'all to join us once again. Today, we are here to talk about Auburn's big road win, their first road win in the SEC by a score of 82-73 as they go to Oxford, Mississippi to beat the Ole Miss Rebels. They're now winless in the SEC, Ole Miss Rebels, and look on ahead to the other Mississippi school on Saturday against the Mississippi State Bulldogs at home. Be good to get back in Neville Arena. Exactly where you were when you beat Arkansas last Saturday. So exciting time for Auburn, starting to click a little bit. Got some good things going on around the team and the program. We're here to talk about it just like we are 52 weeks out of the year here on The Jungle Show, here on Auburn Daily's YouTube channel, Twitch stream, and podcast feed. And to do that, I brought in my dad and co-host again. Dad, it's good to be back here on the podcast and the Jungle Show. Here to talk about some Auburn basketball.
It is always fun. Sometimes I think back to what it was like when we were doing the show every Friday and we didn't have any basketball to talk about. We just talked about the guys on the team. It's really fun to have basketball to talk about and good basketball to talk about the past two games. That Georgia game seems like it was 20 years ago now.
No kidding.
So, absolutely. Thank goodness.
Whew. Yeah. The farther away that one feels, the better.
The better, yeah.
Because that show, y'all can go back and listen to that show on the YouTube channel. It was frustrating. We did it right after the game went final, and it was frustrating. I was still kind of in shock, and I know you were as well. Mm-hmm. It was just disappointing, and it was all around pretty bad.
It was awful.
Last Saturday was really, really good with the win against Arkansas. And then this is a really good win that we had on Tuesday night against Ole Miss.
So, it's a road win in the SEC where we scored over 80 points.
I know. You scored 82 points on the road in the SEC. You're going to beat a lot of teams. I think there's only one team that you probably wouldn't beat if you did that. And that's the team across the state. But but you would run through the SEC if you scored 82 points on the road game in and game out, especially if 48 of those points are in the second half. If you dominate the second half like that,
it was great. It was really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So talking about the first half in this game, before we get into that dominant second half, Auburn lost the first half by just one. It was 35-34 at halftime. And Auburn shot 12, made one three in the first half, had six really careless turnovers, got down seven early. And when we were down seven, I was like, oh, here we go again. Janai's playing great and nobody else is. Like, what is going on? Wendell Green and Jalen Williams both combined for, let's see, I'm trying to get the number here.
7 points on – Two of 11
shooting. Yeah.
Oof.
That's right.
That was I was really a little concerned in the first half with Wynn Green, because we've talked the past couple weeks about Wynn, and our team is going to go as far as Wynn Green takes us.
Absolutely.
When Wynn Green plays well, we're going to play well. When Wynn Green plays like dog mess, we're gonna look like dog mess. Yeah. I think with the emergence of guys like Alan Flanagan again, that can be limited a little bit, because Flanagan can bring so much if he's playing like he has been the last three games.
Let's go through and talk about, just like we did in the Georgia podcast we were talking about earlier, let's go through the four players that had extreme impacts on this game. And these four players combined for 69 of Auburn's 82 points in this game. Only 13 points were scored other than these four guys. So let's talk about them. First one we want to mention is Wendell Green. Just like you said, we talked about in the last podcast after the Arkansas game. When Wendell Green plays really good, Auburn's going to play really good. When Wendell Green plays average, Auburn's going to play pretty average. And when Wendell Green plays really bad, Auburn's going to play really, really bad. And again, you see that, especially in the second half. You know, we're talking about how he struggled in the first half, but he had an incredible second half. Wendell Green in just the second half had 18 points, made 2 threes, went 8 of 8 from the line. And in the game, he had 23 points, went 5 of 15, went 11 of 11 from the line, had 7 assists and 5 rebounds.
And 2 turnovers.
Yeah.
He only had 2 turnovers and 3 steals.
Yeah, and 3 steals. Yeah.
By the way, Wendell Green's becoming kind of a theft on defense.
Yeah.
The past couple
Get
of
his
games,
hand in
like
the
he
lanes.
Ripped the dude, the 6'6 point guard from Arkansas the last game.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're starting to get some KD type of numbers steals wise from Wynn Green.
Yeah.
And when he plays like he played in the second half, and the point guard who's going to have the ball closing the game out goes 11 of 11 from the free throw line. About midway through the second half, I was like, if we make free throws down the stretch, we're going to win this game. Oh, going away.
Absolutely.
And they did because they kept getting it to Wendell. And unlike the Georgia game where he was a little out of control and flopping and getting fouled and not being called.
Under control in this game.
He was under control. He was getting hammered and they were calling the fouls.
Yep.
That's the nicest thing I can say about SEC officiating.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, but you nailed it right there. Once Auburn made the run in the early in the second half to retain that lead and kind of get it to a point where it was Ole Miss would need a special type of run to get back in the game, I was like, yeah, you knock down your free throws, you'll run away with this one. And that's exactly what
Wynn's not going to allow that. He goes 11 of 11 from the line. You're not going to catch up when the point guard – can't miss from the free throw line because you got a foul.
Yep.
And he's the guy with the ball.
Moving on to the next guy, and kind of mentioned him in the very beginning, but not in terms of this game. But Jahni Broome has continued to show his dominance. He ends up with 19 points and 11 rebounds in this game, 3 offensive rebounds, 1 block, 1 steal, 3 of 4 from the free throw line.
Yeah.
And 8 of 13 from the field. He looked dominant to get his 4th straight double-double, which is the first guy to have done that since Simeon Bowers for Auburn.
PG1.
Yeah. Whatever. Sure.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, the first guy to do that since Simeon, man. God, that's crazy.
That's crazy because just like you said, you think about the guys that have played center or backup center for Auburn. I mean, just on this team, Dylan Carwell could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Walker Kessler definitely could have done that. He could have done that.
Austin
Wiley could have done it. Anthony McElmore could have easily done it.
Yep.
Yeah. There are guys that you just think about, say, oh, that's a scorer and a rebounder. There's, at least since Simeon, that have been on this team. Jahni's the guy to do it 4 straight games. Done it in dominant fashion with the Florida game where he flat out exposed Colin Castleton.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Florida, y'all should have really gone after Jahni Broome more because.
Yeah, he was hurting your big.
He was our only guy playing in the Georgia game. Was absolutely fantastic in that one.
Yeah.
Really dominated the Arkansas game as well. And then scored the first 7 points of this game. And I was like, well, here we go again.
Here we go. Yeah.
He was outstanding.
He was great. He's not been the guy from Morehead State. But the guy at Morehead State, they had to have him score 30 or they were going to not win.
Yeah.
So he's been the guy that he needed to be here at Auburn.
Yeah.
4 straight double-doubles, all of them against SEC opponents, all of them against, by the way, that Georgia loss doesn't look so bad. They beat Mississippi State the other day and they gave Florida all they wanted in Florida. So four wins against pretty good. Florida and Arkansas are probably the top echelon of the SEC.
I would agree.
And he's doing it. So he's not doing it against scrubs. Florida's got a great big. Georgia doesn't. Arkansas's got 2 twins that are really good and really big, and he dominated that matchup. And then last night, Ole Miss has got some guys that are big and can play. And he just flat out dominated him.
Yeah.
Dominated him.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Really impressive.
It was crazy.
To watch him play right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, talking about the next guy, look, we came into this year expecting more of a offense centered around Jalen Williams, because that's what we were told by Bruce Pearl at the end of the Miami game.
Because he said it.
I mean, he said it himself. So, and we haven't necessarily seen specific plays being drawn up for Jalen. You saw a few in this game against Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he struggled in the first half. The only points he had in that first half were that was that dunk that he had on the play designed for Jalen Williams.
By the way, he got fouled on that play.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely.
He got knocked to the ground and didn't get called. But yes, that was his only play.
Jalen went 4 of 4 from the field in the second half, ended up with 12 points and 5 assists and 3 rebounds and 2 steals in his minutes. And his minutes are very, very important, not just because he's a senior, not just because he's Jalen Williams, he can do everything, but because we're getting nothing from the guy behind him in that position. And yeah, he's got to be out there for 31 minutes in this game, just like Wendell Green, even though I like what Trey's doing, just like Jani Broome, even though I like what Cardwell's doing, and just like freaking Alan Flanagan, because Chris Moore got hurt.
The most minutes, yeah.
So, and we'll talk about the Chris Moore in just a second when we talk about Flanagan, but Jalen Williams, just like we've always said, just like we've always called him, he's the Swiss Army knife. He can do everything. He showed that many, many times this game. The play where he stole it, dribbled right down, went around the guy, got an and one, and got the block and made the free throw. It was like that's what I thought we were going to see with Jalen Williams the whole year. And we've seen it in flashes. But we've also seen struggles, just like you've seen from Green and just like you've seen from everybody.
Yeah, I guess we don't expect it as much from Jalen.
Yeah.
Because he's so consistent.
Yeah.
But he had a bad game against Arkansas.
Yeah.
He couldn't make a shot. And he started off this game the same way. And I was like, come on, Jalen. We're going to need Jalen to play well. And all of a sudden, he kind of exploded there in the second half. Now, he had 3 turnovers. I don't like that. But he had more assists than he did turnovers. So, I can't fault this game with Jalen Williams. He's going – and his three-point shot is still the best on the team. Even though he didn't make any against Ole Miss, it's still the best shot on the team. I want him shooting it more.
I agree. I think he does need to shoot more than 2 threes or more than 8 shots a game. I think that left-handed hook that we went to so early in the game and against Ole Miss, and he missed it. I think if that starts to go down the way that we've seen it go down, you will see more action for him, even though you've got to find the way. You've got to find the ball. And when you talk about getting a guy in the post, it's got to be a Jani Broome's hand.
Yeah, it's got to go to Jani. I like working Jalen at the high post, up at the elbows.
Because
he
passer.
Can take one dribble
on the ball.
And that push shot that he's got, or he can pass it. He's a fantastic passer.
Yeah. He can do everything. Swiss Army knife.
He can do everything. Yeah. Look, we have 4 guys the past 3 games, basically, that have dominated our team. And Jalen is going to have to be one of them every time. But you get Wynn, you get Jalen, you get Jani, and for all you folks that thought Allen was washed up and done.
Listen here. Okay. Before we talk about Allen, he played 34 minutes in this game. That's way more than what Allen is normally going to get if everybody is healthy. But 2 minutes into the game, Chris Moore went down with a shoulder injury. I do believe his shoulder was out of place. Had to be put back into place.
Bruce said it's a separated shoulder.
Yeah, that's such a like pain tolerance type of injury, because you can't fix that sort of thing without, you know, except just putting the shoulder back in to where
it was his left shoulder, I think, as well. Wasn't it? I think that's right.
Was it his right shoulder? It was his right, because he was facing. Yeah, no, it was his right shoulder, but. And that's a tough thing to come back through, because it's so like based on pain tolerance and how hurtful it was to him.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that sucks, because Chris, we talked about Chris in the last podcast of the Arkansas. He's
playing great.
He's been playing great, especially on the defensive end, because he knows his role so well. Yep. His role as a starter is a defensive menace. It's to get on the floor and dive for loose balls and get rebounds and
to provide energy for his teammates.
Provide energy, lead a little bit. That's who Chris Moore is, and he's been great in this role. So obviously, we hope to have him back as possible. But talking about a game for Alan Flanagan that was what he needed to in this circumstance when he had to have the most minutes of anybody out there because Chris Moore was on the sideline. Man, Alan Flanagan looked outstanding. 33 points in his last two games. Yeah, 18 against Arkansas, 15 in this one. He also had 5 rebounds and 2 assists. And guess what? 0 turnovers.
He's had 1 turnover in the last 2 games.
Yeah.
In how many points did you say? 33 points?
33.
And 1 turnover. That's Alan Flanagan. That's the guy that every time he got the ball last year, I was worried he's going to dribble it too far into the lane. It's going to bounce off his foot.
Yeah.
He's been fantastic. He looks like sophomore Alan Flanagan. We kept saying last year, ooh, there's a glimpse of sophomore Alan Flanagan, but it was a glimpse.
Yeah.
And then the first part of this year, he looks a little bit more explosive, but it's not good yet. The last 3 games, he has been what we need him to be. Now, my question, his role on this team has been to come off the bench, to watch things happen, to get to not push, to be able to come in as a 6th man and give us bench points when we need bench points.
Yeah,
and Chris Moore's out. Chris Moore's probably out a couple weeks, in my opinion. I haven't heard anything like that, but I can't imagine him coming back before Saturday. Next Saturday.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to come back from.
It's a tough thing to come back from, especially on his shooting shoulder. So
Lior starts.
Do you start Lior. Alan Flanagan?
Lior. I'm kidding. Right. No, okay. Yes.
Start KD. All right. No. So you're now listen. Here's the situation. Yeah. If you start Al, he's out there with Wynn and Janai, who both need the ball and both need volume shots.
Yeah.
And Jalen, who needs volume shots. The reason he's been so good, I think, coming off the bench,
because he's the dog.
He's the one that needs the volume shots there.
Yeah.
KD has come in. Look, KD's not shot the ball well, but KD's kind of found his role coming off the bench.
Yeah.
And I'm a defender, and I'm the guy that takes the ball hard to the bucket when we need a bucket.
Yeah, now, absolutely.
I stepped to the line and missed 2 straight free throws. I don't know how.
I just don't know what's wrong with the shot.
Something's wrong with the shot. Yeah. So do you start Chance Westry? He's a 6'6" guard in that Flanagan role where he doesn't have to be the lead dog. He's out there with 3 lead dogs. Or do you start Flanagan and find a way? Look, he played 34 minutes. His minutes can carry over into second string minutes as well. That he can play 34, 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Bruce doesn't like that usually because he's afraid they'll wear down on defense. But do you start Allen? If you do,
who's your scorer coming off the bench?
I would have said KD. It's not KD right now.
No.
It's not Dylan Cardwell. Love Dylan.
Not Trey Donaldson.
Not Trey Donaldson. No. Trey can score, but he's not going to score 15 in a game.
No.
It's not Yoan Traore.
Absolutely not.
So,
you know, that is a tough question because Allen has done so well off the bench, and you bring him into that starting lineup. That is an unbelievable starting lineup, but
yeah.
They've got 4 guys in that lineup that all need volume shots, all need to shoot the ball at a significant rate per game. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you go your complete lineup to your bench, that's Trey, KD, probably Chance, or Lior, and Treor and Cardwell. Who scores in that lineup?
Yeah, if they put that lineup on the floor, I'm worried that we're going through a time of no points, like we tend to do. But right now, with Allen coming off the bench, KD doesn't have to be the lead dog there. KD can grab the ball and take it and go to the bucket. Allen's the lead dog. Cardwell knows I can get rebounds, but I don't have to post up and try to make a post move. It's going to be interesting to see Saturday night who starts and how those minutes are spread. I imagine he starts Allen. Allen's been behind Chris Moore. Chris Moore got hurt. The natural thing is to slide Allen into that. I just don't know
where your points come from the bench.
And he's not running a lot of platoon systems where he's taking five out and putting five new in. No, so he could leave Wynn out there and
for a little bit longer and Allen.
KD and kind of mix and match, which is what he's going to have to do.
Yeah.
Because if you platooned it, that next five is, I thought going into the year, we'd have 11 guys that I thought could score. We've got four that can score. I really do.
Yeah.
We got four guys that can score. If you put all of them out there at the time and then take them all off, that would be a bad move.
That's so true. Yeah. No, I 100% agree. So talking about more positive things about this game, then we'll talk about some things around the program. The Auburn shot 82% from the free throw line at Ole Miss.
Hallelujah.
Oh my gosh.
It's unbelievable.
18 of 22. Yes. Two of those misses were KD stepping up to the line and missing two straight.
Which is,
and then one of them from Jalen and one of them from Janai. 11 of 11 from Wendell Green, 2 of 2 from Flanagan. And we can talk about KD's shot just for a second, but that is an impressive stat for Auburn. Another impressive stat was points in the paint. It just shows you how dominant Janai Broome, Jalen Williams, Flanagan got to the paint a lot.
Yeah.
Wynn got to the paint a lot and made some nice buckets.
Yep.
So, I mean, it just shows you that Auburn's really, really working around the paint right now offensively, and that's exactly what they need to do to be successful. So,
do you remember, by the way, do you remember a game against Southern Cal, we had 23 turnovers. We had
Auburn 10 in this game.
We had 9 the week before, the night before.
Against Arkansas.
And to be honest with you, the 10th turnover was with a minute left with Wynn just forgetting that he's got to get across half court in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't even count that against them.
And by the way, that shot clock was still at 20 and he was over the over the timeline. I don't know what that official's counting speed is, but
whatever. I don't know either. But even if you don't count that against them, that's two games where really we're below 10 turnovers. And I don't mind 10 turnovers when you play at the speed Bruce Pearl wants you to play,
especially
at,
on the road.
You're gonna turn it over 10 times.
Yeah.
But Had we turned it over 10 times against Southern Cal, that's a blowout win. It's a blowout win.
Yeah. Well, if you turn the ball over 10 times only against Memphis, you win that game.
Easily. We talked about it. In fact, I came on this show after the Southern Cal game, and I said, I know people are going to think I'm crazy, but I think that's the best game Auburn had played.
Yeah.
Except for the turnovers.
Yeah,
if we can figure out the turnovers, they've obviously stressed that in practice. They've obviously stressed valuing the basketball. They're not over dribbling. Are they perfect? No. But if you only turn it over 10 times on the road in the SEC, you're going to be okay. You're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah.
So those are the two that I just – to go from turning it over 23 times in that USC game to 9 and then 10.
Yeah.
Against Arkansas and Ole Miss. You turned over 9 times against Arkansas. It's a pretty good defensive basketball team. They're long. They jump. They're athletic. They can't shoot for dog mess.
Yeah.
but that's really impressive.
I agree. So moving on to talk just one little thing about the program a little bit. The four, now five-star guard, Aiden Holloway, for 2023, got his fifth star today from 24/7, which means he is what the how many straight five stars is that?
Oh, that we've had a five-star come in.
So that's all right. It's Holloway. Wow. That's one. Treyor. That's two.
Another one.
Jabari.
Yeah.
Sharif.
Yeah.
Isaac was, some had him as a four star, some had him as a five star, because some had him right on, he was right on that line where they cut that off right about 40 or 50 is what they cut that off in that class. And that's where he was. So
five straight,
that would be five straight five stars in each class that Auburn would pick up. And you've got a chance to do something special with the 2024 class. With the guys,
you get a couple,
especially
more
around this area, around the area.
You get Ace
Atlanta,
Bailey and
Ace
and
Bailey,
Phylon kid.
You got the big fella, and you got
the big fella.
Yeah, you got the Phylon kid from the state of Alabama. Boy,
pick some of those. Pick Ace Bailey and the Phylon kid up.
Yeah,
you're talking about
special.
Remember, we're talking about Auburn basketball. The
Auburn
last coach,
okay too. All right.
Yeah, yes. The last coach though said because we're an Under Armour school, he couldn't recruit well. He used Under Armour as an excuse. Bruce has gone out and signed a five star in five straight classes. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And we're still Under Armour.
Yeah.
Although I'd like us to be Jordan Brand. That's cool. What I want to be.
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
All righty, so moving on to talk a little bit about what we have next. Auburn will play at 7:30 p.m. Central Time in Neville Arena on Saturday against the Mississippi State Bulldogs, who are 12-4, and kind of hit a slump after going 11-1 to start off the season. They are not as good as a lot of people originally thought, because they climbed up into the top 25 and then lost four or five straight games.
It was a little bit of a paper Tigers. I don't think they played anybody early.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the Janai versus Tolu Smith matchup.
Absolutely.
Tolu Smith can play.
Yeah.
He's a good player. Their best, in my opinion, probably their best player. But this Ole Miss team that we just beat in their building went to the hump and beat Mississippi State. And then Mississippi State went to Georgia and lost. Which, again, I think Georgia may be a little bit better than people thought. They're better than I thought.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too.
Is Mississippi State good enough to beat us? If we play like we did against Georgia,
yes. If Wendell Green plays bad, yeah.
Yes. If Wendell Green plays bad, they'll beat us.
Yeah.
Should we win the game?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. This is at home. This is a Saturday night game. Yep. I'm sure the jungle again will be loud and rocking. Yep. And by the way, if we didn't talk about it, but if Dylan Cardwell decides he's going to try to fly again and he does it in the jungle, the building will explode.
Look, that was an impressive dunk.
That dunk.
I saw it coming the whole time.
I did too. I was watching him run down the court.
When are you going to throw it to him? When are you going to throw it to him? When are you going to throw it to him?
I was screaming at the TV. No, don't throw it to the big bear.
The big guy running.
I mean, he caught it.
He's full speed.
There's a stop action picture of him catching it above the free throw line.
Yeah.
And it says he did not dribble and dunk this basketball.
It's
probably the most impressive thing I've seen a 6'10 guy do in a long time.
Yeah, no, I 100% mean, agree.
If he did that in front of the jungle, the roof may blow off that building.
Yeah.
So, yes, should we win Saturday night? I expect us to.
Yeah.
Are they good enough to beat us? Yeah, their coach is the guy that almost beat Bruce Pearl in the Final Four run the very first game.
Yeah.
Should have beat him, by the way. Had a wide open three to win.
Mexico State.
Yep, that's right. Where their coach is from this year.
So before we get out of here, I want to do a little short story time with just you. So obviously the Mississippi State game is coming up. Last year, us two made the trip out to Starkville.
Yep.
For the second to last game of the year from the regular season for Auburn. And Jabari Smith went for 27 points and 11 rebounds. It was a crazy overtime game. Auburn was up by 25. Mississippi State came back, and then there was a dogfight. And then Katie Johnson took over in overtime after
12 points in 5 minutes.
It was basically like the Mississippi State fans were on the bottom and the Auburn fans were on the top.
And completely full.
And it was loud. It was loud in there. And it was one of the most ruckus basketball environments, not named Auburn or Neville Arena, that I've ever been to. And I'm excited about this one. I think we get to return the favor a little bit, except they're not going to have any opposing fans in this game because we don't allow that. I don't think I've ever seen a visiting fan in Neville Arena that didn't have a Alabama shirt on or a Kentucky shirt on.
Well, there's always an Alabama shirt. Exactly. Alabama shirt goes to every one of our
sporting events. There's going to be an Alabama shirt when we're playing against Colgate.
Every time. It was a fun trip last year.
Yeah.
It's the only way that we could have afforded to go see that Auburn team play, because buying gas and driving to Starkville and buying two tickets for that game was cheaper than buying one ticket to Neville Arena for standing room only.
Yeah.
And we had good seats, and it was packed with Auburn people. When we pulled up, you remember there was a line outside the building.
Yep.
And I was like, I wonder if that's the student section. And we walked up to it. That was the Auburn fans waiting to get in. I was like, oh my gosh, this is cool. And by the way, for those of you who went to Oxford, I heard you.
Yep.
I heard you at that game Tuesday night. Great job. It's impressive. Bruce says we need witnesses. And Bruce will even tell you it's cheaper to get tickets. And about the only way you can get tickets right now is to go watch them on the road. They're a fun show to watch.
And it was fun. Absolutely. But if you can get inside of Arena, it's the best.
It is.
But we will go ahead and wrap this up. A few announcements before we get going. Obviously, like and subscribe on the YouTube and the Twitch. Never asked that before. Like and subscribe. Got the Auburn Daily Show going on. Got our show going on. Looking for more in the future. And subscribe on the podcast feed, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts on the Auburn Daily. We'll have this up on Friday morning. And I believe it will go live on YouTube Friday afternoon. I think that's a good time to have it go live before 6, obviously, before our normal time. But mid-Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Also, if y'all want to support another thing.
Look, I just subscribed to this cool new website, and it's called Students of the Game.
Yeah.
$5 a month, $50 a year. You can subscribe. You can get all sorts, not just Auburn stuff, but you get Auburn stuff, podcasts, YouTube. You get articles that come out. You get Auburn, UAB, Alabama, professional sports, all sorts of stuff. $5 a month, $50 a year, Students of the Game.
Yep. Go to www.studentsofthegame.net, or you can look on our Twitters. It's all posted on there. If you want to go support that, obviously myself, Nathan Glidewell, and Alex Bauman are trying to build that up. And we can't wait to interact with y'all on that website.
They have a free podcast, by the way, on the Tony Curry Network.
Yeah. Just like Dad said, we do a free podcast with the Tony Curry Network. And there will be free posts on this website occasionally, but if you want to subscribe, it's $5 a month, $50 a year. You get an extra podcast a week and all the archive and the articles. So
all the cool stuff
with Auburn, Alabama, UAB, all Alabama sports, football, basketball. We're talking
NFL, NBA,
professional. Yeah. All kinds of stuff. We got some good stuff going on there as Students of the Game. So thank you all for joining us. You want to find Auburn Daily on Twitter, go to @TheAuburnDaily. You want to find either of us on Twitter, @GrayOldenburg or @WarEagleHoops. Thank you all for joining us on another edition of the Jungle Show. War Eagle.
War Eagle.